Fathers, this morning, glad to see you here this morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter in chapter 1. We continue to march on. We made great progress last week. We got through verse 4. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll read verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Amen. And let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you are the Heavenly Father. Amen. And that by Jesus Christ, we have a Father now in heaven. We're grateful for that. I thank you for all the fathers here this morning. I pray that you would bless them and use them for your glory. Bless their families and their children. May you be honored in their lives. Have mercy upon me this morning. Help me to preach according to your word, and may your name be lifted up. May everyone receive a blessing, and may it be beneficial for eternal benefits. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just a quick review. We've noticed that Peter, although he was a commercial fisherman, he had some tremendous insights after spending three and a half years with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had some spiritual insights. And it is really amazing to me that I've seen in your lives, or in other people's lives as well, the fact that God can touch just an ordinary, everyday man and woman and put some spiritual insights that even really accomplished theologians are lacking. And we see that definitely in the life of Peter. You would not expect it of him, but he had been touched by God. And he had an experience 3.5 years walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, and it had a tremendous effect on his life. And when we begin reading his letter, you can see the profoundness that he had, the insights that he had. And one of the insights that he had, that which is common amongst all the apostles, is that we must be born again. And it reminds us here that we have been born again by the grace of God, by his abundant mercy. And we're thankful for that. Because nobody gets to heaven, nobody gets to seize the kingdom of God or enters into the kingdom of God without being born again. And it is a real problem in our generation, because religion talks about salvation as if it's going to be here one day. And they talk about how they have to earn their salvation. And so you'll never hear them say, I'm born again. You may hear them say, I hope to be born again. Or they may say they were born again in the sense that they were baptized. But as to salvation, they have a tendency to say, no, I'm not saved yet. Or they'll say, well, I hope to be. I wish I will be. That type of thing. But Peter writes to us as if we are already have been born again.
Amen.
And he tells us we have this hope, not in the sense that we're wishing, we have this expectation that we have this promise of God that we're going to be in the presence of God. And so a Christian can say that I know I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I know that I've been forgiven. I know that I've been saved, or any other term. I've been justified in the eyes of God. My sins are completely washed away. And the religious people, they think that is pride. And the reason they think it is pride is because they can't see faith in Christ Jesus. They don't understand it. Because they believe they can earn or salvation is earned. They have to merit it. And nobody really knows if you've merited salvation, whether you deserve salvation. But a Christian, he would say, I don't deserve salvation. But thank God for his abundant mercy.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ, who's given me salvation.
Amen.
Thanks to him. And so that's what Peter understood, whereas so many other people don't understand. And notice what he says, we talked about this last week, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God has a reservation for you, and your name's on it. And you can mark it down. Then he says, who are kept by the power of God. Amen. Notice that it doesn't say kept by the power of man.
Right.
It doesn't say kept by the power of the government. Kept by the power of the church. Kept by the power of God. I just want to look at a few verses that mentions that phrase, the power of God, and we can get a concept of what it's meaning. Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16. I love this verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you notice the gospel is the power of God unto salvation?
Amen.
That's why we have endeavored as a body of believers to preach the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And if you want your family members to be saved, if you want your children to be saved, if you want your daddy to be saved, or your mother to be saved, or your grandparents to be saved, or your boss to be saved, or your neighbor to be saved, or the nations to be saved, we must preach the gospel. The good news that Christ died for sinners, that he rose again the third day, and he is our sufficient mediator. That is the good news. It is the power of God. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in many of your lives. The power of God unto salvation, where God transforms people. Religion whitewashes people. The gospel transforms people. There is a difference. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Couple of verses there. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I've had some very religious people, even they would call themselves Christians, but they would go under the moniker of Christian, that would say the preaching of the cross is foolishness. That which we preach, the gospel, is that salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. They say, that's foolishness. No, no, you have to have the sacraments. No, no, you've got to have water baptism. No, no, you've got to do this pilgrimage. No, no, you've got to say so many prayers during the day. No, no, you've got to endure to the end. What you preach is foolishness. But notice what Paul says, the apostle. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Are saved?
Amen.
Are saved?
Amen.
He didn't say those that might be saved, those that will be saved if they endure to the end, but he says to those that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank God for that. Now look down, jump down to verse 24. Here is a very important point. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Gentile, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is our salvation. It's not a matter of being a member of this denomination or that denomination. The question is, do you have Christ? If you have Christ, you have salvation. And that salvation is complete, and we got it is kept by the power of God, which is Christ, which is the gospel. It's kept by the power of God, reserved in heaven for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know that each of us as believers, we can sometimes doubt our salvation when we look at ourselves. When we begin pondering how unfaithful we are, inconsistent, how even hypocritical in some areas, how we battle with sin every day, and we say to ourselves, I'm not going to do this, and then we do that very thing. Or we say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to do these things. And then we don't do them. That can be very disconcerting. And if you focus too long on yourself, you're going to end up thinking, I'm not saved.
Yeah.
Or you're going to think like Paul did. He said, oh, wretched man that I am.
Right.
But salvation is not dependent upon us.
Amen.
Salvation is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let me ask you something. Is Jesus Christ without sin?
Yes. Yes.
Is Jesus Christ faithful?
Amen.
Is he completely righteous?
Amen.
Therefore, we can say we are saved because Christ is the power of God.
Amen.
He is our salvation.
Right.
And so you can mark it down. When somebody says that they're not saved or they lost their salvation, it's because they don't know Christ or they don't have Christ. Those of us that have Christ, we know our hope, our expectation is in Him.
Amen.
We have no other hope. Look at just a few verses. This is a common verse in Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to just notice that the Bible does talk about being saved now. In religion, as I mentioned previously, religion thinks of that as some type of pride or arrogance or foolishness. How could you possibly believe that you are saved? Nobody knows that. Only God knows. Well, God does know. And He's given us a promise, all those that have Christ are saved. Look what it says over here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace ye are saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you see that again? He says, By grace are ye saved, not by works. He says it's a gift of God. Do you understand the difference between a gift and a wage? Let me ask you something. Some of you fathers may have gotten a Father's Day present this morning, and that was a gift. Now, when you get that gift, is it something that you earned or deserved? No. It was given out of love to you. Out of appreciation, they gave it to you freely and you received it. Is it pride? Is it really pride when you say, look what my son gave me, or look what my daughter gave me, or look what my wife gave me? Aren't you just rejoicing in the gift? You're not bragging about how good you are. You're just thankful for what you've received. And the Bible talks about salvation as a gift, and Christians are thankful that Christ saved us.
Amen.
We're not bragging and saying, oh, we're better than you, or our denomination is better than your denomination, or we're more faithful. Our focus is on Christ, and we can say with confidence that we are saved thanks to Him.
Amen.
It is the gift of God. How does He word it here? He says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen, if you could earn your way to heaven and you eventually somehow miraculously got to heaven because of your enduring to the end, or because of your works, or because of your faithfulness, wouldn't it be boasting then? Wouldn't you be in heaven patting yourself on the back and say, well, I made it. That Brent, he wasn't as faithful. He didn't make it. That Lindell, he didn't quite make it, but I made it. Where's the boasting? You know, when you open up the pages of the scriptures and you get a glimpse, every once in a while it opens up a little window for us to see into heaven and what's going on. And you read the book of Revelation, you get quite a few little windows and you can peek in. It's like a little peek hole. And you know what they're doing in heaven? They're praising Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody's walking around saying to Peter, oh, Peter, you endured the end. You made it. You're such a great guy. No, they're all falling on their faces before Jesus Christ and giving Him glory, because He is the power of God. He is our salvation.
Amen.
Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. How are we saved? By our efforts? By our religion? By our water baptism? By sacraments? By confession to a priest? By pilgrimages? By circumcision? By reading the Bible? How are we saved? By the gospel.
Amen.
The power of God. And it says we are saved. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Do you see how many times the Bible talks about people being already saved? Thank God for that. And I stand before you as a witness. I am saved by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember as a 16-year-old young man who had come to the end of himself, really, really not a very good life going on. I'll just say it that way. But then one night, hearing the gospel, about 10 o'clock at night at a Hardee's Hamburgers restaurant, hearing that Christ died on the cross for sinners, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I saw that verse and my eyes were open. It was a wow moment in my life. And I went home that night around midnight. I don't even know. It might have been 1 a.m. by the time I got home. But I remember in the basement, in my little bedroom in the basement, getting on my knees and asking God to save me because of Jesus Christ. Telling God, I don't remember all the words I said, but basically talking with God for the first time in my life, having a real conversation with God. It was strange for me, believe me. But reaching out to God and saying, God, I heard tonight in your book that Christ died for sinners. I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. Would you save me? And you know what happened? He saved me.
Amen.
I didn't see an angel. I didn't see a light. I didn't hear a voice from heaven. The earth didn't shake. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't really have a really emotional outbreak like some people. I wasn't weeping. I wasn't crying. But somehow I just knew that God saved me.
Amen.
Because God cannot lie. Any promise in the Bible that whosoever, and that young lady that talked to me about the Lord, she had asked me, she pointed out clearly, does whosoever include you? Amen. Well, yeah, it sure does. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called upon the name of the Lord and he saved me. The real question is, are you saved?
Amen.
I'm not asking you if you belong to a religion. I'm not asking you if you've been water baptized. I'm not asking if you call yourself a Christian. I'm asking you, are you saved? Have your sins be forgiven? Do you know it? Do you have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you have confidence in yourself?
Amen.
Paul says, even we, when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It's the grace of God, and what a blessing that is. Now back to our text here. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I understand, let me just say what about this salvation, the salvation of God. There's several ways to look at it. Number one, look over in Luke chapter 2 and verse 30. There was this fellow named Simeon who was waiting around for the consolation of Israel. And one day, Mary shows up, this little baby. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 30. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. What did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The salvation of God. Look over in Luke chapter 3 and verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He's talking about salvation as if it's in a person. And salvation is in a person named the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to see it. Acts chapter 8 and verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent on the Gentiles and that they will hear it. The salvation of God. God's salvation, God's working in our hearts. What a blessing it is that God would have mercy upon sinners.
Amen.
When somebody does you wrong, are you apt to forgive? We have a tendency to want vengeance.
Yes.
Immediate vengeance.
Yeah.
If we don't get the vengeance we want, we take him to court and sue them. If somebody wrongs us, we're bitter against them all our lives. We hold it against them. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. Because we want justice. When somebody steals from us, what's the first thing we do? We call the police. I want justice. Yeah? We may even go to the district attorney and demand justice. I want this man put in the jail. He's robbed me. He stole from me. Yeah? Listen, if God gave us what we deserved, we would all be in hell today.
Amen.
And so we're thankful that our God is called a God of love, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I want you to see that salvation is talked about in the sense of being Christ himself, the salvation of God. And if we have Christ, we have the salvation of God. But salvation is also used in another term. Like Paul said, we are saved by the gospel, by the preaching of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. We are saved. We have that salvation. But even Peter here, in other places in Scripture, it looks like salvation is yet to be. And there is some type of confusion, and many people would look at those verses and would say, you can't say you are saved. Wait a minute. Let's pause. Let's put the brakes on. We've already read several verses where the apostles have written, we are saved thanks to Christ. We are saved by the grace of God. So we have to figure out the solution to this apparent problem. How can it say that one day we will be saved and at the same time we are saved? Well, I'm going to try to resolve the issue for you the way that I understand it. First of all, notice that you and I are triune beings. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Salvation comes in three parts. It's a saving of our spirit, it's a saving of our soul, and it's the saving of our body. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that night on December 23rd, 1974, so long ago, don't even know how many years that was. Somebody do the math. So many years ago, I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, I was saved. And the Bible says that I sit in the heavenlies with Christ, in Christ Jesus. So do you if you're saved. But you're looking at me and you say, where's Brent? You're going to say he's in San Antonio, Texas. But God's going to say he's in Christ right here with me.
Amen.
That's a spiritual salvation. But notice what Peter says here in our text. He says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed when? In the last time. It's as if that salvation is coming. What is he talking about? Do you know one day that we're going to be resurrected? If we die, we're going to be resurrected. That's a salvation. We're going to finally be in the presence of God. Salvation is and deals with our body, our soul, and our spirit. The correct order, obviously, is spirit, soul, and body. So our spirit is saved instantly. Our soul is being saved, is being renewed daily. And one day we're going to be completely liberated from this old tabernacle and be given a new body in heaven. And I want to talk to you about that. Look over in Romans in chapter 7. This experience is probably common with each and every one of us. This is where Paul, he's just bewildered by some things in his life. He says, look down in, I guess we should read the whole context, right, Bill? I'm glad I preached one sermon in my life that had an effect on him. Oh, I love you, Bill. Okay, look down, verse 14, chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, listen to what it says. Listen carefully. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You see the frustration of Paul? He's saying, I know the law. I know I'm supposed to keep the law. I know I'm not supposed to sin. And he's saying, I sin. This is the Apostle Paul talking, who was saved on the road to Damascus. He's a saved man, but he's saying, I sin. And he's frustrated by it. Now, verse 20, now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after what? The inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul is actually talking like, and I'm not trying to badmouth Paul, but as if he's schizophrenic. That he's got two people in him. Do you know what a Christian's got two people in them?
Yeah.
We have the inward man, a new man, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have Christ in us, but yet we have that old man, that old sinner. And it's a constant struggle, isn't it, as a believer?
Amen.
You wake up on Sunday morning, you say, one voice says, I want to go to church. And another voice says, yeah, but the football game's on. Yeah? You wake up in the morning, you say, I really want to read the Bible. Then another says, I need a cup of coffee. I would really like to serve the Lord, but then the flesh says, serve me. That constant battle. That's what Paul's saying here. I have a battle, he says, but with the mind of Christ, I serve God.
Amen.
Look over in Colossians chapter 2. And it is because that people do not understand these things that they get confused about salvation and they think they could lose their salvation, or worse, that salvation is by works or merit. Look what Paul says in chapter 2 verse 10. And ye are complete in him. You are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom, in Christ, also ye are circumcised with a circumcision, careful, made how? He's not talking about a physical circumcision that Jews were counting on. You know, our father Abraham was circumcised, and Moses gave us a law to be circumcised, and we got to be circumcised. That was a fleshly thing that had to do with the body. Paul's not talking about that. He's talking about a circumcision made without hands. Notice what he says. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Amen.
There is a spiritual baptism, not water baptism that we do out here in a tank, as a testimony to that spiritual baptism. But there is a spiritual baptism, a circumcision that goes on in our hearts by the hand of God, not made with physical hands, but by the hand of God. God circumcises, he divides us, he sets us free from that old man that we got from the first Adam. Because in that first Adam, all die. In that second Adam, which is Christ, all are made alive. And we are alive in Christ.
Amen.
Now you'll see this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And please turn quickly because the clock is ticking. Notice what Paul says. In Romans, he was complaining about that old man. He was complaining. He says, boy, you know, I want to do this, but I don't do that. I don't want to do that, but I do this. He was complaining. He says at the end, oh, wretched man that I am. And he was right. That old man is wretched. It's defiled. It's not worthy. God himself nails it to the cross. Now notice what Paul says in Galatians, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Was he crucified with Christ? Was his body hanging on a tree? Not physical. This is something inward. This is a spiritual crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is Paul saying? He says, I have a new man in me. It's Christ Jesus. And the Bible talks about us being new creatures, born again. We are born once physically unto death, but we're born again spiritually unto life everlasting. And thank God for that. And that's why we can say we are saved. You say, yeah, but you sin. That's not me. That's the old man. The new me's in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, but I saw you. You weren't at church the other day. Well, that's not me. That's that old man. I'm in Christ. Yeah? You can find all sorts of faults with that old man. You know what I say? He's dead.
Amen.
How do I know? The Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Look in Galatians in chapter 5. We'll pick it up about verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So that these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Sounds like Paul talking in Romans chapter 7. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not this old flesh, not that old man. It's impossible. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and the sin nature cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Paul is talking about here. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What is he saying? If you have been made alive by Christ Jesus, that's verse 25, if ye live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. You have a decision that you make every day. I would say you make every moment. You make a decision, am I going to walk in the old man? Or am I going to walk in the new man? Am I going to walk in the flesh? And he tells us what the works of the flesh are. Or am I going to walk in the Spirit? If you do not have the Spirit of God, you cannot walk in the Spirit of God. If you have not been born again, you cannot walk in the Spirit of God. Everything you do is contaminated by the flesh. That's why Paul says, Peter says, Jesus himself said, you must be born again. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll pick it up around verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught of by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, what? The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away a lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Did you hear what he said? He said, make a decision. When you get up in the morning, put off the old man and put on the new man. Amen. Listen, Christ is in you, and you hear his voice. That Spirit of God is whispering to you every day. I know you hear his voice. He says, walk in the light. Walk in righteousness. Do right. Love God. Love your neighbor. Do right. And then you have that old man saying, nah, let's do something else. Let's watch TV. Let's go to the movies. Anything but things for Christ. Let's get angry. Let's steal. Fulfill your lusts. Live, eat, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That constant battle. If you're a Christian, you know exactly what I'm saying. And Paul says, put off that old man and put on the new man. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. He says in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. There was a time that, yes, we were in our old man. We were that part of that first Adam. Yes, we were completely in the flesh. Far from God, without Christ, without salvation. But one day we heard the power of God. We met the power of God, Christ. We heard the gospel and our lives were changed and we were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And ye have put on what? The new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. In Christ, we are one. This is something that spiritually happened to us by faith in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ. We are saved in Christ and we sit in the heavenly places. But this salvation is ongoing. But one day we're going to hear his voice and we're going to be in his presence and we're going to be completely saved from all temptations, from that old man, completely liberated in a very practical sense. By now we walk by faith, but then it's going to be sight. We are going to be in the presence of God. Oh, great day that shall be. Amen. Just a couple verses in 2 Corinthians 4 to close out this morning. Look down in verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. That is the life of the Christian. Always dying to self that Christ might be manifest. Didn't he say walk in the light? Didn't he say you are the light, you ought not to hide your light under a bushel? Yeah? What is our life? Our life is an everyday attempt to crucify, or to recognize the old man is crucified and allow Christ to be manifest in our life. And what should we do as believers? We should look for Christ in you. I'm looking for Christ in you. Unfortunately, some people have never been saved and Christ is not in them. But you as a believer, when we gather together, I'm looking for Christ in you. Are you manifesting Christ? You ought to. Look down at verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. What a promise.
Amen.
Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know why I gather as a believer? Do you know why I come to church? I don't come to church to get saved.
Right.
I'm not looking for salvation in the sense I need to be saved now. I've already been born again. I come to church to renew that inward man. I come to church that Christ might be manifest, that I might be reminded to put off the old man and put on
Amen.
The new man. And how did Peter say it? He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last day. Christ is coming, my friend.
Amen.
Our Savior is coming,
Amen.
And we are going to be completely liberated from this old man.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's thank the Lord. Father, we are thankful for a complete salvation in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, if there's a person in the sound of my voice that's not saved, and doesn't understand salvation, they might be saved. They might have their eyes opened unto you. They might know you, that you are our Savior. You are the power of God. You are our Savior. Have mercy upon them. Bless this morning meeting as well. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Take a 5-minute break and then afterwards the preaching hour.